James Senegal once said, "Technology helps us become more efficient and productive, but our business still has a lot of art as opposed to strictly science." Are you tinkering, self-learning, self-improving, experimenting with home labbing? And do you want to become a skilled IT expert? Well, you've found your new home. This is the Home Labbers Podcast. On this show, we'll interview top experts and dig deep to learn how they got started and how they train their IT skills as a master martial artist in a Shaolin temple. And you know what? We're going to have fun along the way. This is the Home Labbers Podcast. And now your host, Vian Du.
All right, let's do this.
Patrick, welcome to the podcast. So excited to have you on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Before we dive into the home labbing topic, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Patrick Kramer, I'm a staff cloud solution architect working for VMware. I've been at VMware like 7.5 years. I started off as a commercial pre-sales SE, and then I was dedicated to Dell as a partner for a while. And now I sell VMware Cloud, so VMware Cloud on AWS and VMware Cloud on Dell EMC and VCDR.
And how did you get started with home labbing, and where did you get the idea?
So, you know, all the bloggers that I followed, right, everybody where I got all of my information, they all seemed to have them. And, you know, and I never really had my own environment, like, you know, from my sysadmin days, I'd have test hardware and stuff that I could do, but I never really had sort of my own area to do exactly what I wanted. And even when I had like test hardware at an employer, the network wasn't mine, right? The network was always network engineering's domain, even in a test lab. So, you know, I never really had sort of full ability to be hands-on for everything. I was always reliant on somebody else, and or you'd be blocked by policy. They wouldn't do something for you, even if it was in a lab environment. So really just, and I don't know, I got the idea from everybody being able to blog what they wanted and have their setup exactly the way they wanted it. And I thought, hey, I kind of want that too. So.
And how did your first home lab look like?
Well, my very first home lab was nested ESXi on my laptop, right? That was like my home lab, such as it was. It was enough for me to pass my first VCAP. So, you know, in that aspect, it was good enough, but it obviously completely destroyed the performance of my laptop. You know, and you can only do so much in workstation, right? So, when I was finally able to get enough funding for it, I started building out a spec, and I used shuttle boxes. So I have I had SH170R6s rather. Somebody in the VMware Home Lab Slack group suggested shuttle PCs, and I'm like, yeah, they kind of fit the bill, and they were reasonably priced at the time. So started off with them. They maxed out at 64 gig of memory. So I, you know, put the max in cause I figured I'd be short on memory. There's Core i5s in there, which are, you know, pretty old at this point, although I'm still running that same kit, even though it's what I bought in 2016. And then what else did I have? I got a Cisco switch. So, an old 3750. With the IP services license. I got that off of eBay. And then I went back and forth on storage, and I was thinking, do I go vSAN? Do I, you know, build a third node? Do I buy a third node, or, you know, do I do a Synology kind of thing? And you know, I also needed some storage for home, like, you know, home production, such as it were. So I ended up going with an 8-bay Synology in 1815. And I thought, okay, I'll cost justify it a little bit. I'll use two of the drives for me in a mirror and then the rest of the drives for the lab. So, you know, cost justifying it in my head, like, this is also for home, right? not so much, but yeah, so that's what it looked like initially. And it was just sort of sitting on an old dresser. I had like a old piece of furniture that we didn't need anymore. And I'm like, hey, that'll make a great sort of stand for my lab. So it was in the corner in the basement, and that's how it was for a couple of years. Yep. That was the big intro, intro to home labbing.
What was your first home lab project?
An NSX installation, actually, to get NSX stood up and running, which is why I needed, you know, layer 3 access to get the MTU stuff correct. So yeah, deploying NSX was my very first one. you know, it morphed into, you know, a lot of what I was doing was really just running through upgrades to see it for myself, right? I was a commercial SE and supporting a bunch of commercial customers. And even when I was on the Dell partner side, people would run into stuff. And, you know, it doesn't take long in a pre-sales role where you're not hands-on in a vSphere environment every day. And like, you have no idea. You have no idea what it looks like anymore. You don't know what, you know, a vCenter upgrade looks like. You don't know what might, you don't know any of the issues because it's not your job to maintain an environment anymore. So, you know, just being able to have that actual hands-on experience and dealing with some of the issues that people run into out in the field, you know, was super valuable for me as a pre-sales engineer.
And how did you fund your home lab?
Yeah, I had to wait until I had a good sales half. it was with a solid commission check. I hit a good half, and I was like, yeah, it's time to fund it. I'd been saving a little bit of money here and there, but you know, to really sort of do it right, I mean, it was probably like $4,000 up front. That initial outlay is painful, right? Not compared to some people. I mean, there's some people, I don't know where on earth they get the funding for some of the labs that I see out there. But yeah, $4,000 is a lot of money. So you really have to use it. And I mean, I can definitely say I've used it heavily. It's, you know, 6 years. It's getting pretty old. It's you know, probably time to start thinking about a replacement, but you know, with the pandemic and everything, now is really a terrible time to be looking for lab gear in terms of cost. It's the pricing's just astronomical. So I think I'm just going to limp along for a while and hopefully the gear holds out, but I'm guessing these procs will not be supported. I'm guessing in 8, I bet you any money that the i5s won't be on there. I don't know that for sure. That's just a guess. That's not an official VMware proclamation or anything, but that's just my guess.
And how your home lab looks right now, and what do you have, and what software you're running?
So the hardware itself is mostly the same. I put some SSD cache in front of my disk pool. That's made a huge amount of difference. You know, I originally had a very small SSD, like RAID 1 mirror, but by putting that cache in front of the RAID 5 that I have, the spinning disk RAID 5 that I have for all the VMs, it actually, you know, my cache hit ratios in the 90s, because, you know, I'm not running varied workloads. They're pretty static. Because most of what I'm doing is on top of the hypervisor, playing around with stuff. So what did change is I did buy a rack. I've got a Navapoint rack, a little 22U, I think it is. So I rack mounted it. It contains some of the noise, which is nice. It's got some fans in it that keep it cool. It is constant noise. I'm not sure if you can hear the fans through the mic, but you know, it's only like 40 decibels. So it's just a little background noise. It's right here. The networking changed. We moved into a new house and I decided I needed some, you know, something a little better than just a single Wi-Fi router. So I went the Ubiquiti route. So I've got a bunch of, you know, Cat 6 runs to access points. So the Cisco switching switched out in favor of Ubiquiti. But other than that, the rest of the kit's exactly the same from when I bought it. So, you know, I've got NSXT running on top of it now. Most of what I'm running now actually is VBA, the VMware Event Broker Appliance Fling. So event-driven automation Fling for vSphere, that's probably 90. Well, I mean, it's 100% of what I'm doing right now. I actually happen to be on something called a take three. So at VMware, we have a bunch of different training programs. So we have a take one, which after a year of service, you can spend a week doing a training class, right? It can be for your job or it can be for something that you want to learn. You know, maybe you want to branch out into project management or whatever. You can take those kind of classes. And then we have a take three. So after 3 years at VMware, you can take 2 weeks and you do a different job for 2 weeks. You can work on a special project. And then I'm on a take three right now. So after 5 years of service, you can apply for a take three and you get to spend an entire 3 months. So I'm spending an entire calendar quarter doing a completely different job. So I'm full-time on VBA right now. So that's what I'm using the lab heavily for is event-driven function development and working on an open source project, which is pretty cool. It's a pretty cool use for the lab.
So that is a very cool idea, actually. I like it a lot.
VBA is awesome. Yeah, I could do a whole other podcast on on VBA. I could talk about it all day long. It's you know, it's something that I didn't know anything about in 2019 when I got involved in the project. And you know, the fact that there's something out there that you can programmatically respond to vCenter events, right? So like a function that I was just working on, I just finished yesterday actually. So you can respond to like an edit event. So you edit a VM, you update a VM, and I've got a function that checks the tags on the VM and then the tags on all the port groups that VM is attached to. And it ensures that the VM is running on approved port groups, right? The use was like PCI. So you tag virtual machines PCI and network segments that the VM's attached to should also be tagged as PCI. And if they don't, throw an alarm, right? Throw a Slack alarm. So like VBA lets you do that, right? And you can just do it in PowerShell code if you know PowerShell, or Python if you know Python, or Golang if you know Golang. So it's pretty cool stuff.
How much knowledge have you gained while you're having a home lab?
So, yeah, I think, you know, having an environment that, you know, that you know and you have total control over, right, gives me the ability to just do things I wouldn't be able to do otherwise, right? I mean, my knowledge on, I mean, when I started off, right, I knew nothing, especially with this VBA stuff, right? Having the home lab, it helped me learn Kubernetes, and it's helped me learn software development, right? I'm building my functions off that lab and targeting that lab. Like, I have access to stuff at work at VMware too as part of my job, but you know, most of that is, you know, I would consider production, right? It's a demo lab. It's a lab, but it's a live demo lab that 200 other people have access to, right? So you know, having my own environment that I can set up exactly the way that I want and nobody messes with it, right? It's just dedicated to me, and you know, I know it well, and I can make Active Directory changes without blowing up the universe for somebody. And I can wipe it. I mean, that's another, you know, huge difference for me, I think, is, you know, I can burn it to the ground and start over when I make too big of a mess. You know, I can't really afford to make too big of a mess in the demo lab at work because I'm going to cause a huge problem for like another 100 people because they rely on it to demo for their customers. So, you know, I've gained a ton of new skills. I've maintained, you know, my Active Directory knowledge. I think that would have kind of disappeared if I wasn't running it my own and being forced to do upgrades and stuff. You know, that has come in very handy in customer discussions. You know, I've gained network engineering knowledge. I'm not really much of a network engineer. Like that's I don't know, maybe one of my weaker areas in IT. Like I'm just not a big network engineer. but you know, I've been able to set up like an IPsec VPN. That's never something that I would have been able to do without the home lab. You know, I was able to connect the demo lab into my home lab and do like DNS zone sharing and sort of a bunch of different advanced configurations that I wouldn't have really been able to set up otherwise. I don't know. It kind of gives me the freedom to just go learn whatever I need to learn at the time. I've always got compute hardware running, you know, current version of our hypervisor to test out whatever I want. You know, so it doesn't matter if I want to throw NSXT out there. You know, I do. If I'm trying to test VRA or I want to test HCX or whatever, you know, all things that I've done, I can do it. It gives me the freedom to spin it up, blow it away, kind of do whatever I want. So
what is the most memorable home lab story you like to share?
at least for me, most memorable and also scariest is I came home one day and went to log into my vCenter and it wasn't on. So I went and I looked in the rack and the Synology wasn't on. So I'm like, uh-oh. So I pressed the button and it wouldn't turn on. And, you know, check the power, you know, check layer one, check all that stuff. And it didn't work. So this analogy was just dead, dead, dead. And I'm like, oh man, like, yeah, this is terrible, right? My whole Synology is toast. And, you know, I contacted them and I suppose it's actually maybe my best story too. I got really lucky in that my warranty expired literally the next day. So I was able to get it replaced, thankfully, by one day. So, you know, thanks Synology for dying at the right time. I was able to get the chassis replaced.
But what was the reason it died?
The internal power supply failed.
Okay. It was not about the CPU, Atom CPU?
Nope. It was actually the power supply. The power supply failed. And I could actually... I could smell it. Actually, you could smell the power supply. You know, you're a little burned. That burn smell, which scares every. Yeah, that's all I would need is a. Sorry, honey. The home lab set the house on fire. Would not want to have to explain that one. Yeah, thankfully I got the chassis replaced and.
What do you also think about when they see your home lab?
It depends who it is. you know, yeah, your average person looks at it and they're like, you know, wow, you're really a nerd. Like you have a rack in your office, you know? You know, I think in IT, you know, in the industry, it's just seen as a tool for people who are sort of really into technology to be able to learn and teach, right? That's why I have it, so that I can learn myself and I can blog about what I learn. But yeah, like if I have people over to the, not that I've had anybody over to the house in the last 2 years with the pandemic really, but you know, when people would see the rack, they'd just be like, Wow. What is this? A lot of people haven't even seen a rack before, right? It's not a common thing outside of IT. So a lot of them are pretty interested and they want to see. They like all the blinking lights, right? My, like I said, my production network's on there too. So it's always lit up. Yeah. And they like the Wi-Fi too. I've got actual ceiling mounted APs and stuff. So, they're like, wow, looks like we're in a hospital. All the stuff on the ceiling. But I really like those APs. Like I've been pretty happy overall.
What router are you using?
I've got the USG. That part I'm not really thrilled with. I've been looking, everything about the Wi-Fi and stuff that I like, and I like the unified management, but the VPN support is just not there. BGP support is not there. So as you're trying to branch out into networking, it's not the greatest thing in the world. So I've been kind of looking around to see what I might swap it out for. But I'm pretty slow. Like I said, I'm not much of a network engineer. So, I need something that I know is going to work, and I need something that has a bunch of examples online, because I don't know, I'm probably not going to figure it out myself. I upgraded too early once. So I try to stay, I usually read the release notes, and if there's some sort of critical hole, I'll patch quickly. But yeah, I usually leave the, I usually leave the firewall alone for as long as I can. And then, I mean, even the networking and the APs, like I have an AP here in the office, even though my laptop is hardwired. So I'll patch that one first because, with all the gaming that goes on in this house, if I have any sort of Wi-Fi instability, I'm going to hear about it from the kids. So got to keep that production Wi-Fi up. It really has been great though. Like not one complaint from the kids ever since I put in that Ubiquiti Wi-Fi. So, I sound like I'm selling for the company or something, but I don't know. It was easy. It was easy for me. So if it was easy for me, not being such a big network engineer, hey, good job, Ubiquiti.
What one piece of advice would you give for beginner home labbers?
So, you don't have to drop $5,000 out of the gate, right? You don't have to drop piles of money to start. You can start small, right? Start with one box. Even if you don't have vMotion and DRS, right? You still have something, right? You can start building. Like I've done that too, right? I've built it out over time. I had a big initial investment, but upgrading over time, add a little bit more to it. I swapped out my networking for Ubiquiti. You don't have to start big, I guess, is probably my best advice. Start small, even if it's nested, right? Just have something where you can install and test and play, because that's really where we as engineers sort of learn the most and learn the best, I think, just playing around and seeing what happens when you try something. I think that's the way a lot of us learn best, is hands-on. Certainly true for me. It's true for a lot of my colleagues. You really got to get your hands on it to understand it. So that's my motivation behind everything that I do here in the home lab and all the posts that I share with the community. I want to learn it and teach others too. So start small, start somewhere, and you can grow from there. And don't try to buy a processor right now. They're outrageous, absolutely outrageous pricing right now.
Patrick, thank you so much for joining and have a wonderful day.
Yeah, thank you. Happy to be here.
You've been listening to the Home Labbers Podcast. Our passion is to interview the leading IT experts and get tech enthusiasts all the information they need to become an expert. So if you run at-home enterprise hardware and software, and you like tinkering and self-learning, then you've found your new podcast. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. Make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hit up the website at viondu.tech, on Twitter at #viondutrending, and #homelab. See you next time on the Home Labbers Podcast.